we're all good and tired out. Take your Bibles back to Proverbs chapter 6 one last time in Proverbs 6. Seven things the Lord doth hate. The last one being, and this is not, I mean, there's other things the Lord hates too. He hates all sin. But in this list here, these are an abomination to him. And in verse 19, well, we'll just read the whole thing again. Verses 16 through 19. These six things that doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Lord does not look kindly on the sowing of discord. And we need to bear that in mind. We need to understand that. And in that light, we need to look at it this evening. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you are concerned with our daily lives. You are concerned with our speech, our idle words and our purposeful ones, our goals and our intents. And Lord, you, as we've read in these last couple of weeks, you take them and you weigh them in the balance. Lord, help us to understand your word and to live by it, that when we are weighed, we might not be found wanting, but that we might be found sanctifying you in our hearts. Help us to do so this evening as we open our hearts to your word and to your Holy Spirit and have your presence among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. All right. excuse me. We see here, the last one in the list is he that soweth discord among the brethren. And the question comes, as we touched on before, isn't this just another form of lying? And a lot of people kind of blow it off because they say, well, you know, if you're not lying about people, then you're all right. But as we've been studying and understanding, God speaks of specific sins because he deals with us directly on what we did. God doesn't just, you know, lump things together and say, oh, that category or that category. When we stand before God, we give account for everything we did. And there's no escaping. There's God looks at everything individually. And here it says that God finds he that soweth discord among the brethren an abomination. Not only does God hate it, but it's an abomination to him. It's interesting when you try to research this in the Bible, discord is not often mentioned. It's not something where you can say, you can do a word search on discord and find 50 verses. I don't remember the exact count, but it was only like 5 or 6. It really wasn't a word used very much in the Bible. But the things that make for discord, there's a lot about that. There's things that that make discord happen. And so this is something where God looks at what we do and he sees the result. As we've looked at with a couple of these other sins, God knows where it's going. And sometimes we do too. And God says when we're doing these things to cause this problem of discord, God is not pleased. So what is discord? Discord is simply a lack of harmony. So, give me just a second for here. And if I play, it sounds nice, right? Now, I'm going to use basically the same notes. It sounds really good, doesn't it? So I'm going to, you know, beautiful, beautiful music, right? No, it's discordant. It jumbles together. Because those notes are not meant to be played at the same time. excuse me. Harmony is sounds that blend together to make a beautiful noise. Harmony amongst people is when we work together, we blend together to make good, to make a good result, to make a to build something properly, to build each other up. That is harmony or unity. Discord is the lack of harmony, and amongst people, and in the Bible, understanding the idea of discord in the Bible, it is a lack of harmony that produces quarreling, factions, and antagonism. So it's not just a lack of harmony, but it is that which produces quarreling, factions, as divvying up. I hang out with so-and-so. Remember in the Corinthian church, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. No, that's factions. Or antagonism, where, you know, one person or one group picking on another person or group because, you're not the way we are. Either trying to create a division. And, we have a lot of that going on in this nation too right now, don't we? One of my customers was telling me the other day that, because he works in Portland, he said it's gotten such down there that if you pull up to a light where there's protesters nearby, they will scream at you and call you a racist and a bigot and all these kind of things. If you simply do not look in their direction, they expect you to, you know, honk and wave and say good job and support them verbally and outwardly. He said, just because of everything going on and because so many people that are getting attacked and pulled out of their cars, and all that, his idea is you pull up, you look straight ahead, you ignore it. Just try not to get involved in any way. But he said it took him a few times to find out that makes them think that you're against them. So they're creating a discord. They're creating antagonism, and there is an extreme sense. We can all sit here and say, "Oh, well, we would never do anything like that," so we're good. Here's another way that we look at the big sin, and we say, "Oh, well, since I'm not the big sinner, then I don't really have to worry about this." But specifically here, God is saying, "He that soweth discord among the brethren." So God looks at it with a greater intent, or under a closer eye among His children than He does in the world. As we look at some of these verses tonight, we'll see that God's not pleased with those who try to cause disruption in society and in the world in general. But they're also sinners creating discord among sinners. That's going to happen. That's the result of sin. And they will answer for that. But when you understand, as we looked this evening, hopefully you'll understand how this ties in with other sins. They've got a lot to answer for. So I believe that why God said here, "He that soweth discord among the brethren," is because as a Christian, as a child of God, and at that time as an Israelite of the people of God, God's house is not to be divided. God's children are not to be, torn apart. As we see in the New Testament, we are His body. Now, imagine, if you will, that some limb of your body decides it's going to go somewhere else. What are you going to do? Your finger decides that it wants to go over there, and it starts of its own accord. It starts to pull and pull and pull, and you're you've got to do what you can to hold that finger on. You're going, that's a crazy illustration. But that's what we're looking at here. Or you have some part of your body that causes a more of your body to have discomfort. So everybody's had a major cut, right? You slice yourself open, and let's say you cut your hand. One time I cut my hand pretty good, and my whole arm, I mean, just right up into my chest, just throbbed and throbbed like somebody was just beating on me like with a baseball bat or something. Well, how do you calm that down? You pinch it. You try to cut off the nerves and the circulation at that size of a gash, right? And that it still hurts, but it cuts down that throbbing, that aching, because you go back to the source, that the discord in your own body, and you cut that off. You say, stop. And then the rest of you calms down. excuse me. It's not something that you want to happen. You don't just stand there going, oh man, I wish it wasn't doing that. Or you don't sit holding your chest and say, oh man, why is my chest hurting? Or you don't start limping because your hand's bleeding. No, you go to the source. And that's what we're talking about here. God looks specifically at those who cause discord among the brethren, because it's His body. It's His body. And God is not pleased when we tear it apart for our own purposes or out of our ignorance. So where do we see discord in the Bible? What kind of people do we see it in from the biblical view? In Proverbs chapter 6, we looked at verse 14 as part of the view of a naughty person who had a forward mouth and did all these things. And he's walking in his own way. He's looking for his own purpose. But he's a naughty person. And at the end of the description of a naughty person says he soweth discord. As he's developed in doing his own thing, the result of that is he wants to cause problems. A naughty person wants to cause problems. As you read through this passage, we'll just read it. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. Teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. So, we already looked at this in a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. It's somebody who wants to... Problems are fun to him. He wants to wreak havoc. He wants to see what damage he can do. And as he does that, this naughty person, one of the avenues, and we all know this, right? That you see that kind of a person and you know that they're going to be causing division. They're going to be causing a lack of harmony. They're going to be causing a lack of unity. They come in a room and there's a strain right away because they're a naughty person. It's easy to identify the naughty person, so is discord. But here again, this is one of the times where we say, oh, well, I'm not that guy. I'm not the one who walks into the room and everybody goes, ee. So this really isn't my problem. All right? But the person with the problem in pride also is a sower of discord. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." Now, with contention, you could say, "Well, that's an argument. That's a confrontation." But contention also causes discord, or discord causes contention. That grinding, that inability to meet. And the Bible says that only by pride cometh contention. That someone who has a problem with pride, that self-inflating view, is going to cause discord, whether you intend to or not. If there's a discordant situation, if there's contention in your life with anybody, guess what? There's some pride involved somewhere. Now, it's probably on the other person's account, right? Of course, because it's a big sin. You wouldn't do that. You're the one that's right in the situation. If you're in a situation with contention, we need to identify that, wait a minute, there's discord here. Discord does not happen without contention. And so rather than just shoving it all on the other person, we need to stop and examine ourselves, because the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Maybe the other person is wrong, but maybe because they were wrong in what they brought up, instead of correcting the situation, your response is a pride. And so the contention actually, even if the situation is wrong, if the topic is wrong, if your response is pride, then the contention is just as much, if not more so, from your court. Discord comes from anger, not getting anger out of our lives. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." Now, strife is one of the words that comes from the Hebrew word for discord. I'm not even going to try to say it. My Hebrew pronunciation is totally uneducated. So, but strife is a word we see frequently in the Bible. Discord, not so much, but strife is a word that is frequently used, and it comes from the Hebrew word for discord. Why is that? Well, what is striving? Well, it's two things that don't mesh. They don't go together. They fight against each other. Excuse me. Therefore, strife is always discordant. It will never create harmony. And God says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife." If there's anger in your life, and if you let anger control your life, you will cause discord. That's inevitable. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife." There might not even be any strife in that situation, but you go in there and you blow up, and guess what? There's instantly discord. You will never mesh with anybody when you're the angry party. It doesn't happen. They either get angry back, or they retreat, or they totally ignore you, but they never, come alongside with, "Oh yeah, you're right, let's just, No. You don't get two people, when one is angry at somebody else, the other one does not get angry in agreement. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It can't. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife. If we don't get anger issues fixed in our life, we will create discord. Then, when we are willingly ignorant, and there's a number of verses on this one. I was reading through them, and then I didn't write any of them down. I'm sorry, but when we're willingly ignorant, we can create discord. You say, "Well, I'm not that naughty person. I'm not the proud person. I'm actually fairly humble," and people will back you up on that. That's great. That's wonderful. I'm not that angry person, but don't tell me that because I really don't want to know about it. If I know about it, then I'll have to change that in my life. Then you become the willingly ignorant one. And what happens then? You say, that's not going to hurt it. If I don't be as, quote unquote, righteous as you, that's between me and God. And that's, I'll talk to Him about it someday, but just don't bother me about that. Well, you've created a gap between you and that person, but you've also, in the sense of the church, you've created a little bubble, right? We've got a church that we're supposed to be coming together, we're supposed to be admonishing each other in the Word. We're supposed to be exhorting one another. We're supposed to be building each other up, right? And you say, "Well, that's fine for you. Yep. You can be holier than me. I'm good with that. But I really don't want to understand that area because," and we'll say it in nicer sounding ways so that it doesn't get too convicting. "But I really don't want to know too much about that area because then I'd probably have to change." What you've done is you've chosen to be willingly ignorant. And by doing so, you inadvertently cause discord. Not only do you cause discord between you and others, but you cause discord between you and God. Because if God moved on someone to gently bring something in your life that you need to work on, you say, I don't want to hear that. I'm just not ready for it. And God's saying, "Son, daughter, that was my word that I was having them speak to you." So you've caused discord between you and God. And then in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, okay, verse 28. I knew it was in that passage, but I wrote down the wrong verse there. Verse 28 says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Now, the froward person, the person who is too ready with words, they speak before they think. I'm going to say whatever I think because, of course, I'm always right. The forward man sows strife. When we speak always before we think, and we're not careful of our words, we're not back-checking ourselves, we're not measuring ourselves against the Word of God, we sow strife. And we might not be causing the striving that is often what this word talks about of, you know, an actual butting of heads and grinding of gears and so forth. But this is talking about sowing strife. The seeds for discord. The seeds for lack of harmony are pulling away. There is many, 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 many well-intentioned people who will speak their mind in all of it without thinking of where those words go. And many, many Christians and many lost people that were around the church have walked away because of loose words from Christians' mouths. The forward person, the person who has not learned to gauge our speech, to examine what we say as best as we possibly know how, sows seeds that may sprout in someone's life and take them away from the brethren and away from God. Think about that. Oh, well, you know, I'm not that angry person, and I'm not the naughty person, I'm not the prideful person, and really, I'm not the willingly ignorant person. I'm so teachable, I want God to show me stuff. But we haven't learned to watch our words. We haven't learned to examine our heart, because out of the heart, what comes out of the mouth came from the heart. We've been looking at that. And if we haven't weighed our hearts, if we haven't made sure that God is in on the throne and the Holy Spirit is our checkpoint in our topics, in our how we speak and so forth, we may well be planting seeds of strife, of discord. You say, oh, that makes it hard. But you read in the New Testament how much God tells us to be aware of our words. How much in the Psalms we're told to speak peace and speak good and speak God's law. All through the Bible, God says, watch your mouth. Because a forward person, and the proverb says so much about a forward person causes this problem, and a forward person does this to himself, and a forward person here does this to other people. Someone who has not taken care of their speech plants little seeds. Even if they're not causing great big problems, they're planting little seeds that will grow up into problems. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. A whisperer. Oh, did you hear? You know, I really don't want to affect your relationship with so-and-so, but do you know this about them? I'd really like you to be careful around them, because do you know this? Now, there is a time. There is a time, the Bible says, where we're to identify things that need to be shown. But we're also told to be really careful when we do that. Because if we do that in a forward way, because, oh, well, I just think this about them, or whatever else. And we don't want anybody else to hear what we're saying, but we will very carefully say it to so-and-so because we think this. You're a whisperer. And then that may grow to be a gossip. And that gets into a whole nother sin. But you can separate chief friends. It's like Aesop's fable about the four bulls. And you probably know this story, and I've told it before. It's a great, great, simple story. There's these four bulls. Beautiful, strong, heavy. And there was this lion. And there was this famine in the land. And the lion was running out of things to eat. But every day as he was on his hunting route, he passed the field where these four bulls were. Now, he got so hungry, he decided that no matter how big and massive they were, he would try to take one of them. And then he could eat for a week. Well, he crossed into the field, and instantly the bulls went back to back, and there was horns on every side. He could do nothing. He tried for several days, and he came up with an idea. So he went grumbling through the jungle and started saying things about the black bull. And grumbling through the jungle, in another area, he said something about the brown bull. In another area, he said something about the red bull. In another area, he said something about the white bull. Just mumbling to himself as he wandered through the forest. And the monkeys and the birds all heard these things. And they went to their friends and said, "Oh, did you hear? Did you hear?" And eventually, these things came back to the different bulls. And they, instead of checking with each other, they listened. And it didn't take very long before they shied away from each other. And then they went, each went and stood in their own corners, not wanting anything to do with each other. And the lion picked them off one by one. What happened? Oh, you have these strong, well-built friends. But a few words separates chief of friends. Are we careful with our words? What else is called discord in the Bible? Well, strife, we've looked at that. Contention, we've looked at that. We also see in the New Testament where it talks about variances at several places. Variances. You say, well, you know, you can be this way, but I'm going to be different. No particular reason. I'm just going to be different because I don't like the way you are in this. That's discordant. It's a poor part of discord. Then we're told of those that wrest the scriptures. They wrestle with it. They say, I don't like what that says, so I'm going to twist it this way so that it fits me. What have you done? This word is complete. And if you have a question about the Bible, another part of the Bible will answer it. If you take one little thing out of context and make it fit your ideas, guess what? Out of context is just a longer way of saying it. Discord. It doesn't fit anymore. And when you do that with the Word of God amongst the people of God, guess what? You create discord among the brethren, don't you? Say, oh, well, don't you know that the Bible actually means this? Right now, the last 10 years, we've seen a huge falling away of strong Christians after a guy called Stephen Anderson. Because he takes a few verses and he goes, "Gah!" And people followed him. He caused discord among the brethren. And I don't like to point fingers, especially in as we're going through this study, because I want us to look at ourselves. I don't want us to say, well, there's the big sin. There, I wouldn't do that kind of thing. But how many? How many times has somebody wrestled with the Scripture, twisted it their way, and caused discord among the brethren? And you say, well, I'd never do it like that. You know, Muhammad lived with Christian missionaries for several years and became well-versed in the Bible. That's why the Quran quotes the Bible. That's why he says, well, Jesus was a good prophet. But then he says, go and kill all the Christians. Because he took portions of Scripture and he did his own thing. Joseph Smith took portions of the Scripture and did his own thing. Russell, not my Russell, but took portions of the Scripture and started the JWs. Westcott and Hort took portions of the Scripture out and started a landslide of perversions today. And they even wrote in letters to themselves, which are documented, and you go read them in the libraries today, of, well, I don't like this verse, so let's get rid of it. I mean, no bones about it, just I don't like it. That's what they said. And I say all that. Now again, you know, that's pointing fingers. It's looking at all the people that did great amounts of discord to the brethren, but all of them had what they thought were, in their perspectives, good reasons. Alright? And that's where it comes right back down to us. A lot of things that cause discord happen when we didn't really intend to cause a problem. Our pride got in the way, and it was, oh, well, listen to me. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty smart. I've got a good idea here. Or I learned this new thing, and before I checked it out, I ran with it. Discord's actually a lot easier to create than we think. And a lot of it actually comes down to this forwardness, this willingness to spill our minds before it's been sifted through. We have some examples in the Scripture. I'm going to fly through them, but 3 John, verses 9 through 11, you have Diotrephes. What was his problem? Love is to have preeminence. Think about that. Oh, it's not that bad if somebody likes attention, right? Yeah, but when you take it from that to, I deserve all the attention. Everything goes through me. There was some serious discord. He tried to split that church off from the apostles' influence. From John, the quiet, loving, well-worded apostle. I mean, you read everything that John... He wasn't one that you would think of getting in an argument with or in a fight with. He's the one you'd think of just sitting down and having a really good, deep, loving conversation. At least that's how I think of him. And Diotrephes says, guys, don't listen to John. Oh, John's got problems. John's got bad things in mind for this church. Keep away from him. And we think, oh man, what was this guy's problem? Well, he loved to have preeminence. He wanted attention. And that grew and that grew and that grew until he saw the way... He saw John as a threat to this attention that he had gained. This place that he felt he had. Whether he actually had it or not, I wonder how much he really had since John wrote that letter, and you have the other men in church who obviously still looked up to him. But he saw John in all his loving direction as a threat to his preeminence. And the way to protect himself was cause discord. That's never a good way to protect yourself. Acts chapter 15 and verse 2 tells us there was discord in the church over doctrine. They were a baby church. They didn't understand the extent that salvation was extended to the Gentiles. And so they sent Paul and Barnabas back to Jerusalem to iron things out. But Acts 15:2 says there was no small dissension. It was a big problem. It was ripping that church apart. And Acts 36 and through verse 40, we find that Paul and Barnabas had a falling out over bringing John Mark with them. And once Paul let go of his pride sometime later, he found out that John Mark was really a worthy young guy. Was really a help. But they got into strife and discord, and God still used it. But think about it for a moment. I wonder how much fellowship Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark would have had. How much iron striking iron they would have had if they not brought those men in on the note of discord. How much further would their ministries have gone? Obviously, this is the way God orchestrated it, but man has a tendency to mess with things, don't we? How much regret would they have not had if they would have not let pride get in the way? 2 Samuel 15, verses 2 through 6. Brother Derek took us through this recently. Absalom stands at the gate and says, "Oh, the king doesn't have time for you." Let's think about that. He wasn't out there causing the big stink. He was helping people. And really, in all the kingdom of Israel, he must have had some amount of truth, some grounds to say that. Otherwise, people would not so readily have listened to him. "Oh, the king doesn't have time with you." "Oh, yeah, the king's pretty busy. Can you fix my problem?" "Oh, yeah, I can fix your problems. Kiss my ring and I'll fix your problems. They'll all go away." And he split the kingdom. And people died, including himself. Balaam was hired to create discord. He was hired to go up and create discord between them and God. He says, "Curse God, will you curse these people?" And God says, "No, I'm not going to curse them. Go back down the mountain." And Balaam, while he listened to God, that money got enticing. That position got enticing. And he said, "Look, I serve God and I just can't curse his people. But I've got a way that you can curse his people. You send your daughters in there and you entice those men." So Balaam still found a way to cause discord. Korah said, "Moses, we all want to be priests." And Nadab and Abihu and all those that were with him said, "Yeah, Korah, you got something going here." Korah created discord. And God opened the earth and swallowed them up. God does not want to see us causing discord, breaking things apart, speaking things out of turn, speaking gossip, causing strife, causing contention, tense situations, causing variances, wrestling or twisting the scripture. God doesn't want to see us speaking with a forward mouth. He doesn't want us to be willingly ignorant. He wants us to be teachable. He doesn't want us to have anger in our lives or pride ruling how we deal with those around us. And God doesn't want to see us, His children, being known as a naughty person. Now, see, discord ties in with all these other sins. And when you stop and you think, okay, well, where does it tie in? It's the fact that sin itself causes discord. You understand that? Sin itself causes discord. If there's sin in our lives, more than likely we're sending some odd sounding twangs out around us. And we're driving people away. Maybe driving people away from God. And maybe driving people to their death. That's what these examples are here to show us. Discord is not a small... Just because the Bible only mentions it directly 5 or 6 times does not mean it's a small issue. One of those times is on the list of things that are abomination to God. They make Him sick. Because God knows where it goes. God knows its results. But God also knows that He can save you from that too. God has mercy. We have a tendency to make disruptions. Maybe you see some things in your life that have caused disruptions. And you realize that you need to get them straightened out with Him. Don't feel like you can brush them under the rug and move on. And don't feel like God doesn't care. And don't feel like God can't take care of that in your life. Oh God, I've just got such a problem. It's my besetting sin and I just can't fix it. So you'll have to live with me this way anyway. Don't feel like that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You know, one of the biggest reasons we have discord, we cause discord, is lack of forgiveness. If you forgive men their trespasses, that whisper that you told this person about their friend was really a personal offense that their friend did against you. Maybe it is the way they are. Maybe it's something they're growing through. But really the only reason you're telling their friend is because it offended you. It bothered you, or it goes against your grain. Forgive them. It get angry in a situation. Anger doesn't fix it, but forgiveness does. You get prideful, you forwardness, spill everything you think. A lot of times that what you say about someone else is, again, based on what you thought from something and you didn't forgive them. But the Bible says if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Say, God, I've wronged some people. God says, well, you've wronged me too, but I forgive you. On the other hand, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When we hold on to these things, when we retaliate, when we use them to cause discord, there's no forgiveness with God. And we can't be causing discord and causing disruptions and problems and say that I've got everything right with God. Because it says right here, Jesus said, neither will your Father forgive you. He said, go and get this right, and then come talk to me. Leave your gift at the altar, go and meet with them, and then come back. But He's willing. He doesn't say, go away, you dirty, besotted-minded person. He says, go get it right. Come back, and I'll fix the situation. I'll forgive you. There's mercy there. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. There's another thing that causes discord, isn't it? Oh, I'm not that way. Oh, you can't say those things about me. Can you believe that they said those things about me? Guess what? You're pitting them against you. That's discord. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What is mercy? That's forgiveness when we don't deserve it, right? Think about that. God's words here. We don't deserve forgiveness when we've been causing the problems. And that's exactly what we think of when we see somebody else causing problems. Man, they need to get straightened out and they don't deserve any forgiveness. That's because it's true. We don't deserve forgiveness when we cause the problems. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You can say, oh, God, forgive me. And God says, yes, child, I'll forgive you and I'll throw it as far as east is from west. I'll wipe the slate clean with my own blood. And there is grace. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles and verse 9 says, for if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. Look at that. That's not just for you, but that's for the discord that was caused. They'll find compassion and they'll come again into the land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if you return unto Him. If we're causing discord, the only direction we are possibly going is away from God. God has peace and forgiveness and joy. God is not the author of confusion, another thing that causes discord. Russell, look up here. God's not the author of confusion. God has one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we're causing discord, then the only direction we're walking is away from God. We see time and time again, Israel walked away from God, and God sent judgment on them. Someone caused discord, and it caused more discord, and caused more discord until the entire nation was under judgment. But when God said, if you'll return to me, I'll give peace to all. I'll cause the enemies to have compassion on the results of your discord. If you return to me, I'll give you grace and mercy. Mercy, forgiveness you didn't deserve, and grace, the benefits of that forgiveness. The benefits of that forgiveness. A return to God. Not just, okay, forgiven, that's taken care of, never mention it again. You can sit on this shelf over here because if you do anything, you'll probably just go do that again. No. God gives us grace. He says, keep on living and I'll walk beside you. I'll still provide your needs. I'll still show you my glory. Which way are we walking? There's a lot of things in our life that cause discord. that we don't notice. Because we look at, oh, well, just those big things, they're discordant. No. There's a lot of things that we get caught up in our pride, or we blow off in anger, or we stand at variance, or we lather everything without watching our mouths. We need to stop and say, God, I need you to walk with me. I need you to walk with me and me with you. And there is a path of peace and light and harmony. And that's what God blesses when we walk in His way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us these warning signs, as well as showing us the things that you hate, that make you sick and that make your heart yearn after us, as undeserving as we are. Lord, help us to see these signs and take note that when we see those road signs, we're heading the wrong direction. We need to turn around and come back to you. Guide our steps aright, we pray, that we might lead others to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.